I'd like to have you turn with me in your Bibles tonight to a very familiar portion of the Word of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. And I'm calling your attention to verses 9 and 10. And the man of God is taking us right to the Word of God, already previously written, and he said this, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." And then a little further into the second book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 2 and 4. Apostle Paul speaking from a personal experience that he had, somebody that he knew, and could never forget what happened 14 years before. He said, "I knew a man in Christ." He had to have been in Christ for what's going to follow. 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, he said, "I can't tell you that. But such a one was caught up into heaven." And this is what happened. He said he was caught up into paradise. And if you notice it, that paradise is in the third heaven. For this man that he knew who was caught up into the third heaven, for there are three heavens. Those of you that are not familiar with Greek may not be missing a lot. Those big old clumsy words are in Hebrew, those words, but suffice it to say this to all, that if you knew Hebrew or Greek, there are three different words used in both the languages in which our Bibles were written, three definite, distinct, different words that describe and speak of the first and the second and the third heaven. Our Bibles, all of the references just say the same thing. Heaven, 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 heaven. Here we learn, however, that the third heaven is where God's throne's at. And you notice that that paradise is there. It's no longer in the heart of the earth. Because at Jesus' resurrection from the dead, paradise got promoted. Out of the heart of the earth, which was once above hell, so that those in hell could look up into paradise and see those who were between them by a great gulf spanning the distance there in a place of sacred rest. But paradise, after Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead and ascended up into heaven, he led captivity captive. He took people out of paradise and gave it a promotion up there to the third heaven. So all of those who now leave this earth scene and depart this life, who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, been born of the Spirit, been washed in the blood, been sealed by the Holy Ghost, are heaven bound. Heaven's a wonderful place. Many have already gone there. A lot of folks also are on the way. I remember one day a little boy down in Georgia, he's flying his kite, and a man come by and he said, "Hey son, what you doing?" He says, "Flying my kite." He said, "I don't see anything up there." "Oh," he said, "it's up there all right." He said, "How do you know?" He said, "I feel the thing a-tugging." And children of God, those who have Jesus in their heart, there's a tug. We're not here anymore on this earth as earthbound people. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body, according to the working of his mighty power, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Thank God we're looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God by himself. God is not ashamed to be called our God, because he hath prepared for us a city. And it's called New Jerusalem. And it's a wonderful place. Beautiful. I've known in many cases, and we don't have too many of them in these recent days, because most people, when they're leaving this veil of tears and being ushered out into eternity, it seems like too many of them are now drugged up and doped up as they leave on out of here. That's, to me, a misnomer. It's a shame that such should be. I know that when those who leave out of here that are not right with God, I've heard their wails, I've heard their screams, who are headed for the regions of the doomed, already know before they get there where they're going, and already feel the pangs of suffering. I've heard them scream to the top of their voice. Nurses who try to administer drugs to them, but we were warned by the head nurse, listen, this is a new patient. We don't know what medications they've had. We're liable to give them something that liable to take their life. We don't know what's wrong with them. Can't give them anything. So all night long, I remember in one case all night long, this one man who was an atheist, who bumped his gums against God, no heaven, no hell, Bible's a book of superstition, and a bunch of foolishness, and Christians were just people who were using religion as a crutch. But when that man was pressing a dying pillow, nobody had to tell him there was a literal hell. I want you to know that God drew the curtain back and let him see what he had never seen. And I was called by one of the ladies of our church who was one of those nurses. She said, Brother Hendricks, would you please come? Try to help that man to get peace for his soul. He screamed, he's cried, he's lamented, he's wailed, he's moaned, he's groaned all night long. And he's kept the patients here awake. And maybe you could come and quiet his spirit and say something to help him toward God. I began speaking to him. He said, Preacher, it's too late. Don't talk to me about your God and about your Jesus. It's a waste of time. I'm headed for hell and I know it. He said, I have only one thing I'd ask you to say to my daughters. Tell them that Dad was mistaken. And I could just hear that man saying that. Tell them, be sure to tell them, I was mistaken. I'll tell you, that's a serious mistake to tell your children there is no heaven, no hell, no God, no Bible, no nothing. You die like a dog, and that's the end of you. I was mistaken. I'll tell you this, those words have stayed with me to this day. And if any of you are here tonight that have been living a careless life, living for yourself and living out here in a world of sin, and just living it up and enjoying yourself, and say, I'm going to have my sweet now and now, and forget about pie in the sky and about what it's going to be like on the other side. But I want you to know heaven's real. It is the home not only of the redeemed, but it's God's home. It's God's habitation. The Bible tells us this. Then a spirit, Ezekiel's talking, the spirit caught me up, and I heard a great voice, great noise, sound of a rushing. And if ever you've ever been in that supernatural presence of God, that's the way it is often manifested. I remember being in a meeting when you could hear the rushing of the moving. It's a swirling. As it swirled around and around and around of the glory of the presence of God coming down on this gospel service. You could sense that God was on the scene. And that minister said, folks, the supernatural, the miraculous is going to take place in this service tonight. I feel God coming on the scene. Children of God, when God moves in, a lot of things that don't belong to us move out. Bless God. It'll take God. And God wants to do it. I want you to know tonight that he's here. He's here to get us ready for that glorious place. Listen, Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. You notice how personal that is. Unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And you step a little further on down the line there, I hear him praying. John 17. Father, I pray also that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which I had with thee before the world was. Do you get that? Jesus said, I'm homesick for heaven. Wonderful place. I want to get back. Enter into that glory that I had with you before the world even came into existence. If Jesus is anxious to go there, and he's been already there, he knows what it's like. This scripture said in our text tonight, eyes have not seen. I don't care where you've been and what you looked at. One day, taking you back there about 30-some years ago, was it 30, about 1964, 74, 84, that would be about 20-some years ago. In 61, Bobby Jones, Wayne's, Leona's boy, was about yay big, just a little old cute youngin'. And he was with us on this trip. And we were over there in the city of Rome. We'd already been planning and preparing our way for going to Israel. But before we got there, we're in Rome. And we went over there and to see that big, mammoth, beautiful place known as the Sistine Chapel. And then we were privileged and given permission to go into the cathedral in Rome, one of the most beautiful artistic places on the face of the earth, literally breathtaking, one of the most elaborate, expensive, gorgeous piece of human engineering and construction that my eyes have ever beheld. And those who were with us beholding this beautiful place, Bobby was next to me and he said, Grandpa John, what do you think of this place? I said, it's mighty pretty, isn't it, son? He said, it sure is. I've never seen anything like this. But I said, let me tell you something. Eyes haven't seen. Ears haven't heard. Neither has it even entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people. Jesus tells us this. Enter into the joys prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Prepared. Bless God. It's a wonderful place. When Ezekiel got a little listening in, he said to that great rushing noise that he heard, then I heard a voice saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Heaven's a place. Jesus said it was. Old Testament oftentimes referred to heaven as a place, also a habitation. If I went over there to Hosea 5 and 15, God said this, I'm going to go back to my place, and I'm going to stay there until they acknowledge their sins and their transgressions, their offenses, and then they begin to seek my face in their afflictions or in their troubles. They will seek me early. But notice that God's saying, I'm going back home. They don't appreciate me around here. I'm going back home. Maybe some of you said the same thing. I just feel like going home. God said, I'm going to go back home. Where had he been? He had been parking himself over there in the city of Jerusalem in the temple. He said, there will I let my name dwell, and there will I dwell in the midst of my people. The children of God, when we are following the Lord and really living for Him and living close to Him and living clean before Him and upright before Him, God doesn't mind manifesting His presence. He used to manifest it in such a way until David said in the psalm, he said, Lord, again revive thy work that thy people may glorify thy name. When a revival comes, people automatically want to praise God. You don't have to pump them up and just kind of stir them up and give them a pep talk. Bless God when we used to sing the song, there be glory all around where the saints of God are found, coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. Children of God, we need some glory down here to go to glory in. Bless God to get a little foretaste of what it's like on the other side. I went over there in the book of Acts, and the Lord said this. He's talking to Solomon, who was wanting to build him a big old beautiful temple. And he said, where is the place that you're going to build for me? Why, he said, even the heavens and the heaven of heavens can't contain me, much less this place here. He said, don't you know that heaven's my throne and the earth is my footstool? What is the place that you will provide for me to dwell in? In Acts 7:49. I went over there to the kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. Hear the word of the Lord. Where he said this, hearken. Solomon's praying to the Lord. Lord, I want you to hearken to the supplication of your servant. And also for your people Israel. When we are praying toward this place, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. You get that? Your dwelling place. Hear their prayer and forgive their sin. And then again said over there in Psalm 33, and I like this. The Lord looketh down from heaven. Do you get that? Looking down from heaven. Where are you looking at, Lord? Sure a lot of things to see from up yonder. But there's only one place where His focused attention is directed. And that's down here to this earth. The Lord looked down from heaven to behold all the sons of men from the place of His habitation. He looketh upon all of the inhabitants of the earth. That really grips my soul. God looking to you and to me. To this man or woman will I look that is of a broken and a contrite heart that trembles at my word. Children of God, I can tell you when the Lord's got His eyes focused upon us, so what kind of condition our heart really should be in. Look a little further. I went over to Isaiah 63:15, and he said, look down from heaven and behold from thy habitation of thy holiness, of thy glory. Then he said through Zechariah in chapter 2 and in verse 13, therefore prophesy against them all these words and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high and utter His voice from His habitation. Whenever you deal with place and habitation, you're dealing with something literal, something real. I got a call from just the western part of the state that helped move my heart into this message to you tonight. And the man said, the new minister in our church here says, those of you who are so stupid to believe that heaven is some big place up there, a lot of mansions up there, and streets paved with pure gold, and all kinds of trees and the like of that over there, he said, they've just missed it. They're just carnal. They're just earthly minded. Why, heaven is a state of mind, a state of being. Listen to that feller bumping his gum. Lord have mercy. He's just blind, didn't know it. I want you to know this Bible has something to say about heaven. And in fact, man, it's got a heap to say about heaven. And I want to find out a little bit of what he had to say. I even heard him say this over in the book of Job in chapter 26 and in verse 9. He said this, that I hold back the face of my throne by putting some clouds in the way. You remember those little old Russian boys that did a little sailing around up there? And they said, we don't see any God. We don't see any heaven up here. Well, dummies. They didn't know it, that God says, I got this thing all fixed up. I just covered my throne with just a bunch of clouds, and they can't see through it. You find that not only over there, but you find over in 97 Psalm and in verse 2, where the Lord says, clouds and darkness surround about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Well, where in the world is heaven at then, if it's such a definite and such a great place? Well, you know, there are five scriptures in the Bible that'll tell you where heaven's at. Spells it right on out that there is no room for you to wonder and no room for you to doubt. It gives you an actual description. In fact, if you went over there to the Psalms, and especially in 75 and in verse 6, there you're going to find out what the Lord has to say about that place. That he said promotion doesn't come from the east. Promotion doesn't come from the west. And it doesn't even come from the south. And it stopped right there. Well, if promotion don't come from those three directions, what one's left out? You well know that north is left out. He said over there in Psalm 48 and verse 2, he said, beautiful for situation, the joy of all of the earth is Mount Zion in the sides of the north. And if you go back over there to the book of Job, chapter 26 again, you're going to find out that heaven's in the sides of the north. And that isn't all. But even the devil himself, who once was Lucifer, he knew where heaven's at. Listen, that old boy reared back on his hind legs and he said, I will ascend into heaven. I will make my seat in the congregation. I will be like the Most High. After he got through all his bragging, what he going to do? And he even knew where heaven's at. And he said, I will ascend into the sides of the north. Notice the sides of the north. You go there to Ezekiel in chapter 1, and he tells you over there in verse 14 through 16 about a vision that he had about the cherubim and the wheel in the midst of a wheel. And if you notice that he looked toward the north, heaven is in the north parts, in the sides of the north. Not only so, but heaven is a very beautiful place. That's why he had to say in his word that eyes haven't seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Beautiful place. The Lord who could make such a beautiful earth and world as this one, this is just but a sample of his great craftsmanship, of his great workmanship. And the fact that he tells us just only a little dab about heaven, not too much to make us so homesick and heavenly minded until we're no earthly good, but on the other hand, he tells us enough about heaven until we just get weaned away from this old world. And we can sing with the old songwriter, this old world can never hold me, any moment I'll be gone. I have made my preparations and I've got my wedding garment on. Thank the Lord. We used to sing and get happy. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Children of God, that's a good song. And I believe in the singing, I believe in the shouting, because they're going to have that on the other side. That's those are two of the things we'll be doing when we get there. And a bunch of other things I'll get into in a little bit. But I don't hear much singing, don't hear much shouting down here. We're supposed to get in a rehearsal service. I heard some people say to me, yeah, preacher, if you only felt like I felt, you wouldn't shout either. I said, I want to give you a little reminder. when the children of Israel marched upon the walls of Jericho. And they went around there on the 7 days, seven times on around. Mind you, go around the city once had been enough. Twice had been even worse. But go around that thing seven times until the tongues were near and hanging out of their mouths. Until they're wore out, exhausted, tired. And then Joshua had the nerve to tell them to shout. If they went for their feelings, there was nothing to shout about. But the shout, bless God, because we're supposed to shout. Amen. And they shouted. And the word of God says, and the walls fell down flat. Except for one place. Mystery of all mysteries. How come that little old dinky place is setting up there, that wall's still a standing over yonder? Why'd all the rest of it fall and that didn't fall? Why, that's, don't you know, that's where Rahab and her family are all at. She received the men of God and sent them away safely, and they told her this, you hang this scarlet cord out your window, and when we come back, because we're a-coming, and we're taking this place over because God told us we're going to do it. Amen. Just like what God said then, what he says now about heaven. Amen. We can just claim it now before we're even there. Hallelujah. I'm going to shout before I get there because I know I'm on my way. Hallelujah. Got something to shout about. Why? Because, children of God, we're just not going to be like we are right now when we get there. I want you to know this. The Word of God said, David said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. That's what we're going to be like when we get on the other side. Bless God, leave this old pest house with this old body here off. Full of his aches and pains and grunts and groans. Take on a new body. The Word of God tells us this. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty in Psalm 33:17. And in Philippians 3:21, he said, our conversations to heaven from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. What are you going to do with it? Fashion it like unto his glorious body. Hallelujah to Jesus. Over there in 1 John 3:2, he said, beloved, now are we the children of God. Doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. He hadn't changed. If we can recognize one another down here, of course we're going to recognize one another up there. Let me tell you something. Did that rich man in hell, did he recognize Lazarus in Abraham's bosom? You might arrive. He knew him. He hadn't changed nary a bit. And he even knew somebody else that he had never seen before, Father Abraham. He said, Father Abraham, how in the world did he know him? I'll tell you this, we got more sense when we leave out of here than we got now. And you might arrive. Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus? Nobody has as much compassion as he's got. Nobody's got love like he's got. Nobody cares for my soul like he cared for my soul. I don't want anybody up there but just Lazarus to come. Just with a drop of water to put on my tongue, I'm tormented in this flame. Whew, what does that tell you about Lazarus? He's a child of God. Look where he's at. Amen, he's recognizable. When Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, did Peter, James, and John recognize him? You might arrive. They even call him by their name. Recognize him. They had never seen him before. Why, listen, Moses done died 1,000 years before even these boys discovered the world. Elijah, he never did die. The Lord just gave him one of those glory rides right on up there into his high and holy presence. Hallelujah. And he wasn't up there all by himself either. Brother Enoch beat him on that. Enoch got there first. You mean to say people could just leave on out of this earth and go on up there? You haven't heard anything yet. Let me tell you something, children of God. I want you to know that one day Jesus came up out of that tomb that they had him sealed in the thing. Out of that tomb. And when he came on out of there, what did he do? He caused all of those dear saints of God that had been asleep and in the dust and in the graveyards all around Jerusalem to pop right on up out of there with a new body. And you know what it says? It says that they appeared unto many of their loved ones and friends. Now, if they wouldn't recognize them, why appear to somebody when they wouldn't recognize them? They had bodies that were recognizable. Appeared unto them. The Lord just in mass took that bunch of folks on up out of there. And you know, then when Mary wanted to touch him and hug him, he said, "Touch me not. I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. But go and tell my disciples that I'm going to meet them out there in Galilee, and there you shall see me as I said unto you." And children of God, you know, when he said that, they went to tell the good news to the rest of them, while he just took a little quick exit trip from up here and went on up there to heaven with his blood to purge the things up there in heaven, according to Hebrews chapter 9, starting over there, verse 21 to 24, and to purge things in the heavens, purge with better sacrifices than earthly ones, because you see, sin had contaminated and defiled heaven, and the blood of Jesus Christ works up there to clean house, just like down here, cleaning up these old houses. Hallelujah to Jesus. In other words, whether in heaven or on earth, there's nothing like the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Children of God, stay with it. That's the old time religion. Bless God. That makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Then, on the other side, to have a new body. I like those no mores put up there when we get to heaven. There's be a bunch of no mores. I believe there are seven no mores. If you check them out, there's going to be no more sea. There's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more sorrow. For the former things are all passed away. I just assume they did pass away. Bless God forever. Heaven's a wonderful place. No more sea. I can just see John. You know, he'd been out there on the Isle of Patmos. They put him out there in exile. So we'll fix you preaching Jesus. We'll fix you preaching the Word of God. We'll shut your mouth. We'll stop you. But on that Isle of Patmos, can you imagine? The Lord transported him. He said, I was caught up. Yeah. And I saw a door open in heaven. Yeah? Doors up there. Must be a literal place. Doors open in heaven. Thank God it was open. But I do know there's going to be a time of time, according to Matthew in chapter 25, the Lord Jesus is speaking, when in 10 verse the door will be shut. As long as it's open, if you're not saved, you can get in. Still open. When the door of mercy is shut, too late then. Today is the day of salvation. Today, after so long a time, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I like that. He limiteth a certain day in David, saying, today. Notice that he limiteth. We don't have all of a lifetime. Young people hear it. Young people hear it. You don't have a whole lifetime to kick up your heels and raise Cain and just paint the town red and have yourself just merry old time out there in the world with all of its pleasures and lusts, and then decide when you get old and gray-haired and got a lot of long old shaggy chin whiskers, I'll just kind of turn my life then over to God before I die. Listen, you're not just going to turn to him at your own time. You're going to come when he's called. Amen. I like that the Lord opened Lydia's heart. If he opens your heart, you better come and run into this altar tonight, because that's God's call for you to get into the family of God so that you can also make heaven your home. Children of God, heaven's a wonderful place. You say, well, I wonder about how many people are going there. I kind of got scared, Skinny, when I looked over there at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and it says this: straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. You mean just a few folks, just a token group are only going to make it into heaven? Oh, no. Oh, no. You haven't read all the book yet. Put it all together. Put it all together. You go over there to Daniel in chapter 7 and verse 9 and 10. And there he said this, even at the judgment day, he said, there are 10,000 times 10,000s of angels. And he says also 10,000 times 10,000 in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. Of those are just the angels who are ministering to the saints of God. Not even counting all the saints of God that are up there. And that isn't counting all the sinners going to stand before the white throne judgment. It's a mighty big place. A lot of folks are going there. Hallelujah. God wants everybody there. In fact, matter, the very proof of that is over there in that book of Matthew 25, when Jesus said to that man that missed the boat, he said, you depart into everlasting punishment, prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you get that? Hell was never made by God for us. You know what I had? I was preaching that one night, and I'll never forget. A man did this. He said, never made for us. Well, if it wasn't made for us, then I'm not going to hell, even though I've really been raising a lot of it down here. He wasn't reading it right. God didn't prepare it for us, but I want you to know, you got to read some more Bible. You got to go over there to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. And hell hath enlarged herself. How come? Because all of those who were going there had already fit the bill, but there are a lot of folks going there that didn't fit the bill, and so God had to put the stretchers on it. He had to raise the sideboards, make more room for those poor souls down here who thought more of sin than they did of the Savior, who thought more of a few moments of sensual pleasure than to have pleasures forevermore in his presence. Is what? Fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Children of God, do you get that? Pleasures forever. Never run out. Never run out. We run out of a lot down here when the pocketbook gets running out. Might near everybody has to pay a lot of money to have a few little old pleasures. But I want you to know up there, it's free for nothing. Hallelujah. Heaven's a wonderful place. In his presence, fullness of joy. At his right hand, places forevermore. Go up there with a new body prepared by him. Fact of the matter, even when we leave on out of here, somebody asked me and said, well, I want to ask you this question. When we die, do you mean we go immediately to zoom right on up there to heaven? I mean, when we pass out of this world, if we're right with God and our heart is clean before him, we just zoom right on out of here into his precious place that he's going to prepare. Paul said it like this: I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Do you get that? Far better, he said. Must be wonderful up there. He was that fella that was caught up those 14 years before. saw things not lawful for man to utter. And he said this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If this earthly house of our tabernacle is dissolved, goes back to Mother Earth, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And he said, and for that new house and new body, because the body is called a house, do you remember the demon-possessed man? The demon said, I want to go back to my house that I came out of. What do you want to go back into, a body? You go there to the book of Hebrews in chapter 3 and in verse 6, and it tells you over there, he said, whose house are we? If we hold the beginning of our confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Your body is a house. When you're saved, Jesus dwells in there. Amen. That's why he stands at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Children of God, that's our passport to heaven. It's Jesus inside. When I have the resurrection and the life in me, how in the world can I stay down there when I got the resurrector in me? Oh, glory to God. I feel like having a running fit right now. Bless the Lord. Amen. See, just that old good old Spirit of the Lord. That's where, children of God, reality of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ clicks with our own soul when we've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Heaven, yes, it's a wonderful place. Too good to miss out. Fact of the matter, I'd like to just share with you a thought. You know, heaven is a place of reunions. A place of reunions. Down here, we've lost some of our dear loved ones, but thank God. I love what it says over there in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2 and verse 1. He tells us there about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall be gathered together unto him. You go over there to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together. I like that. Together to meet the Lord in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, you just comfort one another with these words. Well, time's getting away from me. I better move on. Children of God, here's another thought. Do people on earth here really, do people really here on earth really perceive that people in heaven do know what's going on down here on this earth? Yeah. He says, how do you know that? This is something. The Word of God says this, and I saw the souls under the altar who were beheaded for the Word of God and for the testimony that they held. And these souls under the altar are saying, how long, O Lord, faithful and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? The Word of God says, and white robes were given unto every one of them. And they were told, just rest a little while. Take it easy. Rest a little while until your brethren shall be slain as you were, should be fulfilled. And then I'll deal with them that took your life. And white robes were given unto every one of them. What? Souls under the altar, white robes given to them? I thought the old spirit leaves out of this body here, and that spirit just goes on up there to heaven and stays up there until we have to wait for the resurrection morning when we get this body back again. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Why, children of God, when we leave on out of here, I want you to know that God's got a body awaiting for us on up there that we just go right on into. Zip right on into that mind. Amen. We have a house in the heavens. desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, that being clothed we should not be found naked, or a spirit without a body. And you don't put white robes on spirits. They had to be people. They are talking up there, "How long, O Lord, faithful and true?" They are talking to the Lord. They knew that the people who had slain them on the earth are still going scot-free. Says, "Lord, how come you haven't dealt with them yet?" He said, "Just wait a little longer." But I'll tell you when it happens. You go there to Revelation chapter 19. And there the Lord's going to deal with all of those who shed the blood of His innocent saints. One of the worst crimes that ever can be committed is to shed innocent blood. God said that the land will not tolerate, the land will not bear the blood of the innocent and slain like Abel. And the blood of Abel cried unto God from the ground. And the blood of the innocents cries unto God, and has no cease in that cry, until the one who slew them, life has been forfeited. That's the only way to stop the cry. That's pretty heavy. I'm wondering how close that relates to abortion. That's a sobering thought. I hope it's sowed on good ground. May I move with you a little further on? Do I know that it must be that in heaven they know what's going on down here? Those souls under the altar did. But wait. I go there to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 7 and verse 10. And it tells us here that there is joy in the presence of God over one sinner that repented. Who's doing the rejoicing? In verse 10, there's joy in the presence of the angels. Notice it didn't say they're doing the rejoicing. It says in their presence there is this joy. Who best would rejoice up there in heaven over sinners getting saved, but sinners who have been saved and know what salvation is all about? They can only appreciate, angels can't appreciate redemption and salvation. They've never been lost. They've never been unsaved. They've never been sinners. They wouldn't be up there. But I want you to know this, the rejoicing up there in heaven is the people who knew down here on earth that one of their kinfolks and their loved ones made it safe into the fold. They got redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And they're celebrating on the other side. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let me go a little further. People have asked me this. When you get to heaven, are we just going to just get down there and just take it easy and just lay down and just rest to all eternity? Oh, no. There's going to be resting up there. Because it said there, the wicked cease from troubling in Job 3:17, and there the weary be at rest. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth set the Spirit, that they may rest from all their labors and their works to follow them." You go there to the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, starting with verse 4 through 8, and it tells us there that yet remaineth a rest for the people of God. But children of God, after we rest a little while, bless God, I don't want to rest today, and I'm going to kick up on fields and have a running fit on sunny shores of sweet deliverance. Hallelujah. Yes, it says that they're going to serve Him day and night. Over there in Revelation 7 and 15, serve Him in His temple. And then over there in 22:3, "And there shall be no more curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in, and His servants shall serve Him." I'll tell you this, this makes now, in November this coming year, it'll be 50 years I've been serving Him. And it's been a real joy. Real joy. Real joy. Hallelujah. Best master anybody could ever have. Thank the Lord. And He's not a taskmaster. That's the good part about Him. Thank the Lord. I'd have bowed out a long time ago if he had been. But he's not like that. Even David said it like this, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." He deals with us gently and kindly and lovingly. That's him. So sometimes, if we chafe at his dealings with us and don't humble and don't repent and don't turn to him, because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son and every daughter whom he receiveth. And if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're illegally born, you're bastards and not the real children of God. But all of us have had our part, and I'll say this, I thank you for yours, Lord, because you want us to make it in there. And I went a little further over there to Revelation, and I find that he's going to lead them to fountains of living waters, and he's going, the lamb's going to feed them as well as lead them. That's a pretty good combination. Feed them, so they must eat up there in heaven. I'll get onto that in a minute. Did they state how long I can minister the Word of God tonight? Well, if you get tired, you can just get up and go home. Bless God, I've got to talk about this. You know, a lot of people down here, one of the big things is just eat. People like to do that, seems like. But I want you to know that that's no harm in that. God gave us taste buds, and he gave us a variety of food, and everything just so nice and tasty, because he knew just what we'd like. And there are a lot of things that one likes that another one doesn't. God made such a variety. He giveth us freely all things to enjoy. That's the Word of God. That goes for heaven, too. They'll be eating up there. I'll get to that directly. But let me tell you this. I got over there, and like a tick of me pink when I read over there in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 2. And here the Word of God says this, "And I heard the voice from heaven, the voice of many waters, and the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps." Now, if that isn't enough harps in one verse for you to catch on to it, we'll just have to stick another one in there. And God does. You go there to 15 chapter in verse 2, and he said this, "And I saw a great sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over the mark and over his name," and it says, "and they stood on the sea of glass having the harps of God in their hands." Well, if you got harps, must be having some music up there. Sure, there'll be a lot of music in heaven. I feel sorry for those folks who don't have even any music in their church. It's going to be up there in heaven. And I want you to know, even to the prodigal son, when he got back home and he got right back to the Lord and back home, I want you to know there was music and there was dancing. Well, I don't believe in that. Well, you don't have to. Bless God. I want to know if your religion gets deep enough in you, it'll get in your feet and it'll get all over you. Thank God. Bless God. God doesn't want us to be all stiff and starchy, as stiff as a poker. Hallelujah. And I noticed next, what else are we going to be doing up there? It says those 24 elders and a whole bunch of other folks along with them, they fell down before him. That's Jesus. And they worship him. There's going to be a lot of worship in heaven. In fact, the matter over and over again is repeated. And there's going to be a lot of singing up there. It says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people." That's a bunch of folks. And you go over there to Revelation chapter 19. Those of you who think that heaven's just going to be scarcely populated, John says, "I beheld and much people in heaven." And then you go over there to the 7th chapter, and he says this, and starting with verse 9 through 14, he said, "And I saw a multitude that no man could number." Run out of numbers. Glory to God. No man could number all of those folks that made in and up there. And John said, "Where in the world these folks come from?" I was caught up in that 4th chapter resurrection, and these folks here, I'd never seen this bunch before. He said, "Well, sir, these folks came up out of great tribulation. They didn't get in on that first batch. They had to get on this next round here. They had to forfeit their lives to get on up into this one here. And they came up out of great tribulation, and They washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They had to come the blood way just like we did. Thank God forever. The only way to get cleaned up is the blood of Jesus. Well, bless God forever. Now, I'll just have to close it out on that. I'm not even halfway through, but bless God. I just want to give a little bit about eating of the hidden manna. Jesus talks about eating of the hidden manna. Those who overcome, I'll give to eat of the hidden manna. And then he says this, I'm going to give them to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I told you that paradise got promoted. There you got it. Revelation 2:7. And what's more, the Lord says that rejoice because the Lamb's wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be attired in white raiment, clean and white. Why, the white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. Do you know when we get to heaven what kind of clothes we're going to wear up there? Everybody's going to dress in white. Isn't that neat? Everybody in white. White robes given on every one of them. And do you know this, that God dresses in white? Huh? I didn't know that God had a body. You might have right, he does. Sure. You go there to Daniel in chapter 7, verse 9, he even tells you about his hair, as well as his white garment. And I want you to know the Lord Jesus is arrayed in white, and I want you to know that the angels are all in white, and so there won't be any big muckety-mucks there, big eyes and little U's. Just all of us have just become just everybody part of the big family of God. Oh, God's way is just right. But what about that eating business up there? Well, I do know this, that the children of Israel over in Psalm 78 and in verse 25, it says, man did eat angels' food. Well, if they ate angels' food, that angels' food is that manna that descended from God out of heaven. So if they ate angels' food, then the angels must eat, and we're going to be made equal to the angels. That's what that Bible says. We're going to be equal to them. They won't get ahead of us. So we're going to do what they did. Hallelujah to God. And children of God. Then he says this, and then in the midst of the street and on either side of the river is the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits. And every month a new crop. Bless God, I like fruit. That'll be great. I'll hang around there. It's a wonderful place. Many are gone there. Are you on your way? Amen. I want you to know this. If you're on your way, because it'll only be because you're traveling the Jesus way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't bypass Jesus, make it into heaven. If any man climb up some other way but try to bypass Jesus, the same as a thief and a robber, never make it in. No thief's going to make it in there. Jesus is the only door to heaven. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Children of God, some of you were here. Do you believe that Peter is the first pope? Some of you folks are of the Catholic background. If you believe that he's the first pope, let me tell you what the first pope had to say. Hallelujah. What did the first pope have to say? He said, neither is there salvation in any other. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Whew. I'll never forget the lady. I don't know if Sister Rose, you remember the lady you brought to my office? You remember that lady? She said that you've been taught false doctrine in the church about being saved, that there was no salvation. You remember that? You done forgot that? Oh, Lord of mercy, I'll never forget that. Dear Catholic lady. And Sister Rose brought her in, and she said, I don't believe in that saved business. I said, you don't? Why not? She said, our priests have never told us a bit about it. It's not in the Bible. I said, well, I've got my Bible and brought it out there. And I said, will this Bible do? She jerked it right out of my hand. Yeah. She she opened the thing on up there, and when she saw at the bottom over there, I think it was P.C. Kennedy Publishing Company and Douay Version, she said, "Yeah, that's just like mine." I said, "Are you ready for me to read?" She said, "Yes." I started rolling over there in Matthew and in chapter 10. First of all, in chapter 1, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save." I said, "There's that word save. His people from their sins." And then he said, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved," in Matthew 10:22. And then I went over there in chapter 24 and verse 13, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." And went over there to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and go over there to Acts 2. What? I said, "Do you believe that Peter is the first pope?" She said, "I surely do." "Do you?" I said, "Let's hear what he had to say." That's the way I did. "Let's hear what he had to say. We must be saved." She said, "I'll declare." I said, "We better take heed to that kind of preaching. That was good preaching." And you know, by the time we go over there to Colossians, she said, "When can I get saved?" I said, "Whenever you're ready." She said, "I'm ready right now." And I mean that she just slid right on off of that chair. You never heard such praying. And that woman just turned her heart over to the Lord. And she said, "You know," she said, "it's gone." She said, "That heavy load that I've carried for years, it's gone. I just feel so light, feel so free." Is that the way you feel? Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. He's the burden bearer. Children of God, I want you to know this, that the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a heavy load to carry. God don't want saint or sinner carrying the load of guilt, the load of sin around. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wants us to be saved from our sins, because there shall in no wise enter into that city anything that defileth, or whatsoever maketh a lie, but those whose names are written in the book of life. Is your name written there on the page white and fair in the book of his kingdom? It's up there. Church books down here don't count. It's only be the Lamb's book of life. God's got it up there that nobody can mess around and tamper with it and get your name out of it. Hallelujah. The book of life. Shall we bow our heads? Oh, Holy Father, wonderful God, who out of matchless love sent your Son down here to redeem us from our iniquities and our sins, and to make us fit for heaven, fit for even angels to dwell and associate in fellowship with. Dear Lord, we thank you for your redemption tonight. We thank you that you have washed us from our sins. And Lord, there's some that need a new cleansing. They've gotten dirty and got spotted in this world. You said keep yourselves unspotted from the world, but they didn't obey your word. And so tonight we bring them to you. They've lost the joy of their salvation. They need to have their spirit renewed. You even, through David, said, "Renew a right spirit within me. Then I'll teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Lord, we know there are a lot of people who are not witnessing for you like they used to, because they've lost the joy of their salvation. And I pray that you'll do some restoring work here tonight, until we'll have an old-fashioned worship and praise service, deliverances and victories, set people free, Lord, that are bound by anything, whether bad thoughts, bound by habits, bound by fears and worries, bound by germs and diseases, bound by guilt feeling, bound by a feeling of unworthiness. Oh, God, we pray this night for those especially who have been bound by unbelief and bound by doubt. Oh, God, bring deliverance to them and set them free. Those who have been bound by lust of the flesh. Some have been bound by pride. But, oh, liberating God, in Jesus' name, set the captives free tonight. Let there again rise in this place the shout of the liberated. those who have been set free by the power of God. We ask it in Jesus' name for that soul, that man, that woman that's not saved, that you put it in their heart to come here tonight, that they will also find their way through to genuine salvation. Help them, give them the grace to come and give their lives to you. In Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose wonderful name we pray. Amen.